Blog Talk Radio.
The proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ by members of the Churches of Christ. With your host, Stevie R. Butler. You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves, and the light,
and the light,
and the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save,
and the light,
and the light, and the light.
We will spread.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
that gospel light. Let it shine.
Let it shine.
Forevermore.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Give your attention to the proclamation of the Gospel of Jesus Christ.
Steve, are you ready for me to come on?
Come on, y'all, and gather around.
That is why we come to this hour. There is nothing better to do.
So we're gonna cut loose and sing for you.
We're gonna harmonize and we're gonna shout.
We're gonna tell you what you're living about. I'm gonna tell you.
Good evening. I am Brother Clay Lee Phillip, minister here at the Rose City Church of Christ, where everyone is somebody, and Jesus Christ is Lord. Sorry about the technical difficulty that we've been having, but we're going to straighten it out. And so we're glad to be able to expound on God's word here on this evening. We're located here in Thomasville, Georgia, 20785 Highway 19 North. And we have service every Sunday, and we encourage you to come and worship with us. And please, I want to thank Steve for giving us the opportunity to share the gospel with you all as we strive to be pleasing in God's sight. And so to ask at this time, if anybody can hear me, make sure that you post that you can hear me as we start preaching and teaching here this evening. Now, I want to talk on the subject today, and be my topic first, and then we'll read the scripture. I want to talk on the subject, the exposition of prayer. The exposition of prayer. Let me say that one more time. The exposition of prayer. In other words, the word exposition, etymology, however you want to pronounce it, simply means the comprehensive description and explanation of an idea or the work that one is doing. And so I want to remind us that preaching without prayer is a bad, dangerous thing. Preaching without prayer is not as forceful. The word of God is powerful and sharp in the two-edged sword. But we must understand that preaching without prayer, the Apostle Paul helped us understand the severity of praying and preaching. And I think that we have gotten to the point now where we think that as long as I'm saying something, I'm preaching, and I'm somebody, I'm going to call your attention to Paul's prayer for the church. If there ever been a time that the church needs prayer. Time is now. Every time we ought to focus in on prayer in our preaching. The time is now. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians, turn your Bible now, in Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to commence reading at verse 14 and terminate at verse 21. That's Ephesians. The chapter is 3. I'm going to commence reading at verse 14 and terminate at, if you will, at verse number 21. Now, if you have your Bibles, read along with me. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is Paul praying for the church, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Listen, if you will. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant, notice what it says here now, above all that we ask and think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, so be it. Notice in verse 20, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Not only must we study the Bible to understand the Bible. The Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And also he let us know here that even in our, listen, even in our ministry, we must understand the power of asking and thinking. Okay? What Paul is dealing with here, what it is he's telling us is, as we have, as we are Christians, have the wonderful privilege of being able to approach the throne of God in prayer. We got to be mindful. We have the privilege. Come here. We have the privilege of going to God and talking to God in prayer. Now, so he wants us to understand, the Apostle Paul wants us to understand that we are able to do this. So rather than allowing our life to be full of anxiety, he tell us something here. Let me give you some scripture references, and then we'll come back and then we'll do some homiletics and exegetical study, if you will. Turn your Bibles now to Philippians. Everybody turn the Bible to Philippians chapter 4. Now Paul wrote these books. Philippians chapter 4. And all through his books, he deals with prayer. And understand the power of prayer, the exposition of prayer. Okay? Notice now, in Philippians chapter 4, and the verse is number 6, and we find these words written. It says, notice what it says now, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. In other words, preachers, we need, maybe we're not just doing enough to be praying and doing, we studying enough. I'm not saying you don't study, I'm not saying you don't know the word of God. I'm just saying oftentimes the power of the word is not with us because we have not experienced the exposition of prayer, understand what prayer is all about, the comprehensive description of prayer. We must understand the idea of prayer, the power of prayer. So he says, Paul said to the Philippians, he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Then he go on and says in 1 Peter, turn now to 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, and the verse is number 12. 1 Peter chapter 3, and the verse is number 12. Everybody turn over there now with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, and the verse is number 12. It says, notice, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Now, we are somebody. Come here. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Then it says, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So understand, as a Christian, as a child of God, as a preacher, as a minister, the Apostle Paul, now in his lesson, he's dealing with several things, but one thing he's dealing with is understanding the exposition of prayer. Understand your power. You can have a gun and no bullets. You can be out there preaching with no bullets, no power in your message. Maybe our message is don't have any power in it because we are not praying over our message. We need to understand that. We need to understand the severity of this. So now notice now, let me read that again. Verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. And then then we find, if you will, First John. Let's turn to First John now. Everybody turn the Bible to First John. Let's go down to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15. I love these verses. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And we find these words written. Know what the Bible says. And this is the confidence. When I stand in the pulpit to preach every Sunday, every Sunday evening, Wednesday, wherever, when I stand in the pulpit and preach, not only have I studied, but I prayed over what I studied. I make sure that I don't forget and leave God out of what I'm teaching and preaching. So John says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask, if we pray, ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. The word exegetically, according to his will, means in line with his will. So, in other words, you can pray all you want, but if you're not in line with the will of God. So the will of God is to learn the word of God. When you learn the word of God, that you ask God for prayer, for the exposition of prayer, that he will give you comprehensive power. Okay, notice the verse 15. And if we know that he heareth us, come here, if we know that he heareth us. I know God hear me. When I'm studying the word of God and I pray and ask God to give me wisdom and knowledge to help me, I know God is with me. Because the word of God has come to, it's alive. It says, whatsoever we ask, pray, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. In other words, when the petition, God has given us the right to ask him to petition us, to petition him. God, help me with this lesson. God, help me with the word of God. Whatever, it's read in the Bible. I didn't make this up. It is a request. Notice what it says, petition that we desired of him, that you desire of him. So here we find that in John. Now notice now, turn to James, back up to James chapter 5 and verse 16. James chapter 5 and the verses number 16. And we find these words written. Notice now, Jesus' brother, James chapter 5, verse 16. The Bible says, now notice, confess your faults one to another. I don't have time to go to Matthew chapter 15, 18, where it says you come to the before the Lord and you find out that you have an ought against your brother. You leave your gift at the altar because that you God said you ain't got that right. You got to pray over that. You got to get that right. Wow, that's the Bible speak, Brother Clayley. And it said, and go back and get it straight with your brother. So here, now notice now, in verse 16, he says, confess your faults one to another. So in other words, it says, you have always your brother, go back to him. If he hear you, you gain your brother. If he don't hear you, take another, and then et cetera, et cetera. Now, in verse 16 of James chapter 5, it says, confess your faults one to another. Then it says, notice now the power of prayer. It says, and pray one for another that ye may be healed from that anxiety, that anger, that frustration. That, notice now, healed, spiritually healed. Oh, that the Bible speaks, Brother Clayley. The effectual, notice, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You got to understand this. The fervent, what do you mean by fervent, Brother Philip? The effectual, it is effective. Your message will always be alive, but your message might not be growing. Come here. Your message going to be, if you teach the Bible, it's going to be alive because it's God's word. But it's not growing because the word of God, come here, is a seed. Let me say that one more time. The word of God is a seed, and it must be planted in the ground. And that, so now notice, now James is telling us, because Jesus explained it. Okay, let me show what Jesus said. Turn to Matthew. All right, let's go to Jesus now. Matthew chapter 7. Everybody turn the Bible now to Matthew chapter 7. And the verses number 7, Matthew 7 and 8, Matthew chapter 7 and the verse 7. Notice what Jesus said. He said, ask. That word ask simply means to pray. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So just reading the scripture is good, and studying the Bible and putting together sermons, homiletical and all that good stuff is good. But if you don't pray over that sermon, if you don't pray over the message, you must understand the exposition of prayer. That you have to learn that Jesus, now this is what Jesus said. He says, now listen, you ask and it shall be given you. But you don't stop at just asking. Then you got to seek, and you shall find. You got to seek, and you shall find. Then not only do you seek, you knock, And it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. God is for us. So listen, just standing in the pulpit, preaching folk do that all the time. The pulpit full of men stand up talking. But their message have no power. Their message have no get up and go about it. Hello? Their message, there's something wrong with their message because they just ask. You got to ask, you got to seek, and you got to knock. There is a process. There is a process, okay? Now, let me show you something. Now, we must understand. See, I understand when I stand in the pulpit, I know the devil is busy. Anytime you stand in the pulpit, you must understand the devil is busy, that we are in a battle. He attacks those that are listening, and he attacked the one that is preaching. And we need to make sure that we understand who on our side. The Apostle Paul, now Paul deal with prayer all through his manuscripts and writings and books. When you look at the Bible, oftentimes we ignore it, and we want to fuss about the word and this, but we don't understand the power is not in my voice or eloquence. The power is in the word of God. And also, when you ask, you got to pray, and you got to seek, and you got to knock. Okay? Now, notice the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, find my brother and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is what we're looking for, because we're in a war. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You got to put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Hello? See, that's why prayer is so important. Because most of us are fighting the wrong battle, fighting the wrong war. We're fighting people. We're fighting one another. We're fighting everybody else except the devil, and letting the word of God do his job. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against power, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hello? Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now then, notice now, notice what is interesting, and then you get all you can do to stand. You study and pray and all this stuff. You know the Bible, you know the scriptures, you learn the quote Bible, all that good stuff. It says in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. You say, okay, you got the truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shared the preparation of the gospel of peace. Oh, man, you got your degrees and all that good stuff. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye are able to quench the fiery dark of wickedness. Now, notice what it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit and the word of God. You got that. Woo, you got all that. But now, notice in verse 18, you can't forget. The Apostle Paul said, come here, come here. Notice in verse 18. He says, pray. Uh-oh. You got all that stuff, but you're not praying. You got all that stuff. You got the helmet of salvation. We must understand that we are in a spiritual war. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Not only do you pray for you, preachers, come here, you pray for the church and those that listen to you. Maybe that's why we're not baptizing folks anymore, because we're not praying for them anymore. We just throw the seed on the ground. Some fell by the wayside. Fowls got some. A few of them went into the earth. Then it says in verse 19, notice in verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me. Now, Paul said, pray for me, y'all. Now, come here. One thing I want Rose City Church of Christ to continue to do is pray for their preacher. Pray for me. Pray for me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bond, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He said, but you know what? I can have all that and don't have the prayer. I'm in trouble. He said, I need you to pray for me. Let's go to another scripture that I think that is helpful also. 1 Thessalonians. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians and go forward to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and the verse 16 and 18. All right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 and 18. Now, what are you doing, Brother Philip? I'm trying to help us understand that you can have all the tools. You can have all the tools and not have the power. You can have a brand new car. You can have a brand new car and not go to the gas station and put the gas in it. It will not run. You can have all this knowledge. You can have all this stuff and not have the power to run. Prayer, give us the gospel. Okay. First, Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice evermore. Why? Because we got access to God in prayer. When you study Hebrews, the book of Hebrews tell us that when they came to the Mount Zion, that they could not go. Even animal go up there, it would kill them, and so they couldn't go. But not this there, but we are privileged. Come here. We are privileged to go to God in prayer. And we're not using it. Somebody said, Brother Philip, I remember when I was young. My grandfather was an elder, my dad was a deacon, and I remember when I was young that we used to have prayer services. Come here. We used to have prayer services at the Laura Street Church of Christ in my hometown. I remember we used to go in and sing and pray and sing and pray and sing. When I was young, we used to do that all the time. But now, I must confess, we have faded out because we're too busy trying to pin the proof instead of using God's prayer line. Ask, seek, and knock. Then in verse number 17 of 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, let me tell you what that means, the exegetical study of pray without ceasing. It's talking, the word here is, the etymology of it is talking about a continued cough. Come here. It's talking about a continued cough. A person is coughing. And if your throat is designed, if something gets stuck in it, will cough it out or try to cough it out. Okay? So you have a continued cough, even though it's not coughing all the time. Like now, I'm sitting here, and preaching to you all, but I'm not coughing because I don't have anything stuck in my throat. Somebody give me some water now, but talking about it. But when it says you have a continued coughing, so that means that your throat is prepared to remove any obstacle. Come here. And the Bible speaks, because your throat is ready to remove any obstacle that get caught up in it. It is designed to cough up. We ought to practice and teach and ask and knock and seek and design. The church is designed to cough up any object that hindereth your fruit taking, your food, your receiving God's word, any obstacle. Now there are times when something gets shown up in your throat that you have to get a hybrid maneuver. And so that is when God moved in. God give us the hybrid maneuver. Okay? Now, let's go down. And I got, according to my clock here, I got 10 minutes. All right? Let's go now back to Ephesians. Let me give you Paul's disposition and exposition of prayer. Let's go now to Ephesians chapter 3. Y'all ready for this? All right. Now, I gave you all that to bring you to verse 14. Now here's Paul is praying. Y'all stay with me. Paul is praying. Paul is telling us and teaching us about prayer because he prayed all the time. And Paul was one that really believed in prayer. We need to understand now, it was important to Paul not to tell us something he didn't do. Paul prayed. You know when Paul prayed. When you remember Paul on the road to Damascus. he was headed down the wrong road. And the Bible knew Paul. God knew Paul's heart. He'd already designed and blinded him. And Paul prayed in Acts chapter 9 and verse 11. Paul prayed, if you will, for the brethren of various places and various things that it was going through. Paul prayed with the brothers the variety in places. Everywhere he went, he prayed. He prayed for when he faced danger in Romans chapter 15 and verse 30 to 32. He prayed to request God to bless him for others and himself. He needed blessings. He prayed for his brethren in Romans chapter 10. He prayed for his own people. He says, brethren, my heart desire. This is what I would like normal preach right here. My heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's my prayer to my people, black people. Listen to me. Prayer to you is that, brother, my heart desire and prayer to God for my people that they might be saved. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. I want to pray for you. I got to pray for you. And not only that, I'm going to show you where the most powerful prayer that Paul prayed was about racism. Come. It was about racism. He dealt with the church. Okay, now let's look now. Let's look at verse number 14. It says, for this cause I bow my knees. Hello? I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's there are several traditional ways that folks prayed back in the days, and some stand, some sit. We're not arguing about where you stand or sit or how you do it. It's are you praying? Amen. Are you praying? So the first homiletic is that he uttered was with a reverence, reverential recognition. You got to know who you talking to. Prayer. You must know who you talking to. It says, for this cause, who is Paul talking to? For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you remember Jesus' disciples came to him and said, Lord, Father, Lord, teach us how to pray. We didn't know. John's disciples are praying. Teach us how to pray. We need to know, and we have forgotten this. We have forgotten to teach our young children, the church. We are not teaching them anymore about prayer and the power of prayer. We're so wrapped up into quoting scriptures and arguing and fussing with people until we forget to even pray for our food. Jesus, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus said, come here. Let me tell you how to pray. Our Father. Who was Paul? Notice Paul. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. My brother. Jesus, this is how you pray. Our Father. Wait, who up in heaven? Holy is thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day daily bread. Forgive us. Listen. Come here. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine the kingdom, power and the glory. Woo! Good God Almighty. Everybody say amen. So here, the first homiletics is that Paul recognized the reverential recognition of the Father, the awe of respect. So when you pray, there is an awe of respect. I'm teaching my grandbaby now. When someone prays, don't be quiet. Calm down. Listen. In 15 also deal with that too. He says, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. In other words, now this is the word name here. Mean authority. So when you pray, you catch the attention. Okay. Come here. When you pray, you catch the attention of the whole family in heaven. And earth is named by the authority. That's why the Bible, that's why Jesus' name is so powerful. That's why when you finish your prayer in the name of the Father, and when you finish your prayer, woo! Now, that's deep, brothers, sisters. Let me read that again. Of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. That's why in Philippians, turn to Philippians chapter 2. I got to read Philippians chapter 2 for this purpose. Notice now, the Bible says, now notice, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bonds of mercy, you know what they're talking about, y'all? Prayer. Any bonds of mercy, prayer. If it says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind, let nothing be done through strife, vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let others esteem others better than themselves. Look, not every man to his own thing, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God, woo! This is what pride do to you. Highly exalted him. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed. He said, y'all can't. It's just 1 hour, y'all. 1 hour. You can't get y'all to pray with me. Woo! That's why The Bible says, wherefore God also had highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. Man, that's a man. That authority. So when you pray, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. You better hear this. I ain't putting that there. That's in the Bible. Every knee shall bow. Of things in heaven. There it is. This Paul said, things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of his Father. Woo! God Almighty. Somebody ought to say amen. So when you go back to Ephesians chapter 3, I got to wrap it up. I don't want to, but I got to. I got to wrap it up. It says in verse number 16 that he would grant you. So if you know how to pray, oh, look at him. If you know how to pray, he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Let me tell you something. See, everybody thinks Samson was strong all the time. Samson, woo, let me close, I got to close this thing. Samson, when he got ready to and kill 1,000, the Bible says he prayed. God, your spirit. And the power came to him, and he took a jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 when he come out of the whore's house, the harlot's house, and they were going to kill him, and he walked to the gate for gave the pictures of him, took it to the mountain, and the Bible says that he prayed before he went there. Woo! And when he, Delilah got it, cut his hair, and when he got between the pillows, and he prayed to God, let me die with me in it. God power. So the power of prayer. And oftentimes, church, we need to be reverent to what prayer does for us. We need to go back to having prayer services, teaching one another how to pray and pray for one another. I'm your speaker, Brother Clay Lee Phillips. Keep it real.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Shout it out, question.
Hello?
Brian, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I seem to be having some technical difficulty here with my audio. But we have a question from my social media platform called Shout It Out that we'll be posing to my co-host, Brian Christian Coleman. He's the assistant minister there at the Morristown Church of Christ. How you doing, my brother?
I'm fine, my brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. This studio is driving me crazy here, but we're going to get through it.
Amen. Just a little patience, a little prayer. We're going to make it through, just like the brother told about. We got to remember to pray.
Amen. Now, do we have a question from Gerald Williams? He's from Amarillo, Texas. And here's his question. Could Hebrew and Greek tell us anything that the Bible written in English cannot tell us? What say you to this question?
Well, to answer that question, my brother, we have to do a little bit of history before we can answer that question thoroughly so we get an understanding of what where we're at now. It was some time ago, back when King James I of England, he wanted to have the Bible to be distributed to all those commoners as well as those who were nobles. You see, at one time, the only time someone who was a commoner, you know, a basic worker, a horseshoe, you know, basically an average gentleman or lady, the only way they can know anything about the Bible, they had to go to worship to understand it. You see, the Bible was only given to professionals, those who were high up in government, those who were priests, those who were ministers, etc. So King James called all these men together, and they devised, as we know as the King James Bible. And from there, we've had other versions of the Bible that have been created. But the key point was at that time, all the known languages of the time, the Bible was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And basically, they translated the Bible completely from these languages that was spoken for everybody to have. That allowed anybody, no matter who they were, whether they were a commoner, whether they were of a higher status, whether they were royalty, it did not matter. Those individuals would be able to have their own copy of God's word. So that's the first thing. Now, the question is asked, does the Hebrew and Greek have something else that the regular English or the King James Version, I'm just using the King James Version, brother, because I did not get I got a clear understanding of that, but not of any particular version of the Bible. So I'm just going to use the King James Version as an example. Now, basically, everything that we know, the Bible teaches us that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Amen. So, basically, we know the Bible is complete. From my answer, they have everything that is in the regular English King James Version, the New King James Version. There's an English translation. There's another English easier English translation. It's some of the best one of the Bibles I use in my studies and preparing my lessons and my sermons. Basically, what is in the Hebrew and Greek is also It has not missing anything. All the words are properly interpreted properly. And it's by faith we know that the Bible we have now, there is you can go to the Greek, you can go to the Latin, you can go to the Hebrew. It says the same thing. The important thing is, and it's the most important thing I want to cover, it tells us how to be saved. Amen. It tells us about baptism. Hello? Being a necessary thing that we all need. If you want to be a member of the Church of Christ, you must be baptized. Amen. Mark 16:15-16 teaches us, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It's not just reading. You had to go to that water and be baptized. And basically, the Bible tells us how to make heaven our home one day. The Bible is our roadmap. The Bible has been given us by inspiration. And the Bible teaches us it was basically all those who wrote the Bible, they were moved by the Holy Spirit. These men did not come up with the Bible as we know it by themselves. They did not go along and just create what they thought. They were moved by the Holy Spirit in the writing of the Bible. So we know that it's coming from God's word. It is God-breathed, meaning it's from God's word. That means God instituted it. It is necessity for us to use it each and every day. It's important for us to study God's word. That's why the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. See, it's one thing to read the Bible. Come on now. Let me sound my trumpet right now. It's one thing you read the Bible, and I'm sure all of us have read the Bible, but it's another thing to study God's word. Say amen if you can. And I'm not just talking about you read a whole chapter, or you read six chapters, or you read an entire book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Ephesians, whatever book that you may be studying from, and that's it. And you say, oh, I studied the Bible. No, you got to break it down. There's words, there's different phrases, and there's different things that we need to get a better understanding of God's word, and we need to sit down and break it down in pieces. See, the thing is, if I'm going to go to a restaurant with Brother Butler, and we both going to have steak, I hope, Brother Butler, you're a steak person, I'll find that out when I come down to visit you in North Carolina. If you love steak, you just don't put all that steak in your mouth and try and swallow it, chew it and swallow it, you're going to hurt yourself. Amen. You're going to choke on it. That's why you need to take the word of God and break it down into some fine pieces that you can be able to sit down and get a great understanding of God's word. You can't do it just by looking at it once in a blue moon. Don't be putting it on your shelf and pull it off once in a blue moon. You've got to study God's word all the time. You've got to put your face in God's word, not some of the time, not most of the time. You need to understand God's word for all the time because it is our ammunition. It gives us information to know what we need to do to fight off Satan. And let me tell you something, Satan is on the job 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, holidays included. And that's what we need to be as members of the church. We need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That we know it, we know that God's word is able to deliver us and help us through our tough times. God's word has comfort for those who have lost a loved one. God's word has direction for those who need to go somewhere. God's word has compassion and love for us when we don't love ourselves. Amen. God's word is able to deliver us. God's word is able to correct us. Hello. Sometimes we think we know more than God, but I stop by to tell you, we all need God's word all the time. Not a few times, all the time. So to answer the question as a whole, what you have in Greek, what you have in Latin, what you have in Hebrew, it is translated correctly into the King James Version of the Bible. If you have further questions, my brother, in asking this question, get in contact with Brother Butler. He will inform me, and hopefully I'll be able to give you a better understanding. But I believe I've given you one right now. I pray that the answer to this question has been beneficial for those who are not members of the church, that they know what we need to do in order to get in contact with the power. How do I get in contact with the power, Brother Coleman? Well, you've got to hear the gospel. And the gospel is the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The world, the majority of the world, this weekend is celebrating the holiday so-called Easter, which is to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. But Christ instructed his disciples that we were to worship and to honor him every Sunday through the communion, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. That's the good news, because it lets us know that we have an opportunity, if we live right, if we follow the mandates that God has set for us, to make heaven our home one day. And you've got to hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got to believe the gospel. John 8:24, except you believe I am he, you will die in your sins. And this is Jesus talking. And he went on and further and said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. Then you must repent of your sins. Luke 13:3-5. You don't do a 360, you do a 180. If you were heading toward evil, you got to do a U-turn and go back the other way. And Luke 13:3-5 says, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then you must confess with your mouth the sweetest words that you will ever say by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Acts 8:36-37. That eunuch was in his chariot reading his Bible, reading Isaiah the prophet about the suffering of Jesus and his death. And he asked, and the evangelist Philip came to him and said, do you understand what you are reading? And the man was an honest man. First of all, he was religious. Can you imagine the person traveling 1,000 miles to go to worship service? This is a round trip. It's 2,000 miles from Jerusalem to Ethiopia. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he invited Philip to join him in the chariot. And he started at the same scripture. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, dumb before his shearer, yet he opened not his mouth. And then the eunuch was an honest man and asked a question. Is this man talking about himself or some other man? And later on down as they traveled, there was some water that was seen by the eunuch. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hindereth me to be baptized? If you're going to talk about water, you got to talk about Christ. If you're going to talk about Christ, you got to talk about water, because they go together just like peanut butter and jelly. They are scripturally bound together. And then you go down to the liquid tomb of baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38, where baptism washes away your sins, Acts 22:16. It makes you a new creature, John 3:5. It makes you a child of God, Galatians 3:26-27. And it will add you, God will add you to the church of Christ, Acts 2:47. I pray this lesson and this question has been beneficial for all listening, and it reinforces what we know as members of the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ is the only church that you can find in the Bible. You can go and get creed books and everything else, but you've got to have a Bible to make a Christian. All these other creed books, the Baptist Manual, the Catholic Catechism and all of them, they are not going to make you a Christian. They may make you a Baptist Christian, make you a Catholic Christian. The Methodist Church, Methodist Discipline will make you a Methodist Christian. But it takes the Bible and the Bible by itself to make you a Christian. I pray that this answer has been beneficial once again. May God bless you. May God keep you. And thank you for listening.
Shout it out question. You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
I know, Lord.
I know the Lord.
He'll take care.
He'll take care.
Take care of me.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he will.
He will.
I know the Lord.
I know the Lord.
He'll take care. Take care of me.
Oh, yes, he will.
Oh, when I'm down,
oh, yes,
to my last dime,
oh, yes,
I call on you,
oh,
and you step,
yes,
in right on time.
Oh, yes,
I know the Lord. I'm trying every day to walk in the right way. My, it gets hard on this road. It gets so rough. My mama too, but Lord, I
change and do it. Yes, he will. Sister Mia, won't you tell him how he took care of you?
Sometimes I gave all by mistake. Lord, I don't know, just don't know what to do. I start to look back over my life. And in your word, I know you'll see me through. Lord, that's right, all that I mean. Oh no, it just can't seem that I can't win. I know the Lord, yes, He will take care, yes, take care of me. Oh yeah, yes, He'll take care.
He'll take care.
Yes, He will.
He'll take care.
I remember not long ago. When it seemed like I lost everything but my
He'll
mind,
take care of me.
And a new friend,
He'll take care.
A friend I could call on.
He'll take care.
In the late midnight hour,
He'll take care.
So I called on the Lord.
He'll take care.
And let me tell you what I found out.
I know the Lord.
See, I know the Lord.
He'll take care.
He'll take care of me.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
This is a program reminder. Stevie B Media Production presents. We're airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio. Telephone number to the live show is 713-955-0508. And the website is www.blogtalkradio.com/gospellightradioshow. On Tuesday evening, I'm hosting a live show, What a Word from the Lord radio show, and that show will air from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and this show will air every second, third, and fourth Tuesday of the month. The second Tuesday of the month, we have a guest speaker from the Brotherhood of the Church of Christ who will be making their proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And also during that show, we have the Community Corner segment. That segment is designed for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services for our communities. I also have two co-hosts on that show, Lou Gilbert. He's the evangelist for the Oakbrook Park Church of Christ there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Isa Mullins. He serves with the Church of Christ there in Cary, North Carolina. And then on the third Tuesday of the month, that show will air at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And my co-host on that show is Dr. Anthirica Lane. She's a board-certified obstetrician and gynecologist. She serves with the Church of Christ there at Kennedy Heights in Cincinnati, Ohio. And she'll be hosting her show, Conversations with Dr. Lane. And on the fourth Tuesday of the month, that show will air at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And my co-host is Kelly Fletcher. She serves with the Livingstone Church of Christ there in Indianapolis, Indiana. And she'll be hosting her show, The Kelly Fletcher Show. And then on Thursday evening, I'm hosting a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show, and that show will air from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And there are eight co-hosts on this show, Clay Phillips, Yusuf Ford, Dr. Frank Washington Jr., Steve Cordo, Stanley Hubbard, Manuel B. Jonathan, Glenn McMillian, and Brian Christian Coleman. And these gentlemen will be presenting lessons from the Word of God, and I have two co-hosts on the air with me. I'm also taking a question from my social media platform on Facebook called Shout It Out that I'll be posing to one of my co-hosts on that live show as well. Then on Friday night, I'm hosting a live show, Stevie B's Acapella Gospel Music Blast. and this radio show is the 2022 recipient for the NACAMA, National Academy of Christian Acapella Music Artists Award for Outstanding Achievement in Record or Radio. This show will air from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, and on this show I'm playing some of the world's greatest acapella gospel music artists, the sweet sounds of voices. We're also interviewing artists, writers, and we're also debuting new music and featuring old music on that broadcast as well. And every third Friday of the month, we're doing my top 20 countdown show. And we also have on-demand episodes wherever you're getting your favorite podcast from. There's just a variety of musical platforms that you can use to see these on-demand episodes: Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Apple iTunes, YouTube, just to name a few. We also have recorded version shows. These shows are album debuts mostly, and the same playlist is used on the live shows that are on these recorded version shows here on Blog Talk Radio. And these shows can only be heard on iHeartRadio, on Deezer, also on Amazon Music. Just search for Stevie B Recorded Version Shows. We also want to thank our sponsors for sponsoring these radio shows. If you'd like to become a sponsor, just contact my sponsorship manager, Michelle Mark, over Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And her telephone number is 954-687-4705. The three E's of Stevie B Media Production, it is the objective of this broadcast. We want to educate, we want to edify, we want to encourage you in a study of God's Word. And that will conclude our program announcements. You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
With all the talk, what is your goal? With all the talk, what is your goal? With all the talk, what is your goal? Now that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know that heaven is my goal. No matter what they say, call me and I'll go. I'll tell you I'm not saying. Lord, I hear the streets are paved for pure and gold. Breath of God blow gently through my soul. The pearly gates shine, sparkles on a rainbow beam. Lord, I give my all to you. Please make my dreams come true.
Heaven is my goal. That's the talk, yes, they want to. I believe God knows. I'll never change my mind, never on the phone.
Some have said that heaven is a fairy tale,
on the phone.
Silly to believe, that's what they told me, yeah. This world is all the heaven we are gonna get,
on the phone.
But here's no perfect peace, that's why I'm leaving.
Heaven is my goal.
Let's talk if they want to.
believe God knows in my soul. I'll never change my mind, no. With all the heaven is my door. With all the no matter what they're saying, heaven call me in my soul. I'll say it, I'm not saying heaven is my soul. Let them talk if they want to. With all the I believe God is your fool. With all the I'll never change my mind. No, heaven is my soul. No matter what they're saying,
you're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Give your attention to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now, my co-host, Stanley Phillips. I'm Stanley Hubbard.
Well, bless you today. This is Brother Hubbard of the Kingsley Terrace Church of Christ, a church where God is glorified, the saints are sanctified, and our lives are changed. We invite you, if you have a chance to come to the great city of Indianapolis, Indiana, to have a chance to experience the people of God who live and worship the Lord here. There's a special blessing in store for you for the day that you have the chance to come and receive the gift of fellowship with the children of God in this great church. We want to thank Brother Stevie B for the hard work that he does as he presents these opportunities to share the word of God consistently on this program. We thank God for him. We keep him in prayers as God continues to bless him and pours into him his wonderful and powerful spirit to use this opportunity to spread the gospel of a living God. I want to share with you on this day with a concept called ecumenicalism. It is the doctrine of the ecumenical movement that promotes cooperation and a better understanding among different religious denominations. It is actually aimed at a universal Christian unity. This concept can encompass even an intermixing of entirely different groups, including worldwide unity among all religions. For the sake of argument, let's just consider this idea of this grouping of ecumenicalism in conjunction with the idea of the groups that call themselves Christian. They call themselves Christian. We can begin this consideration by evaluating different types of groups, from the Mormons, who through Joseph Smith would say a dark skin is a sign of the mark of Cain, to the Jehovah's Witness, who would declare that Jesus is the Greek word, so homoousios and not homoousios. Homoousios is the idea of what a guy named Arius and Athanasius had a debate in the 4th century, and they distinguished these terms. Homoousios suggests that Jesus is like the Father. Homo, same as. Homoousios is he is the same as the Father. And this is the fundamental foundation from which Jehovah's Witnesses get the belief system we actually have. But we can exhaust the subject by considering the variety of Christian groupings and how they call themselves, the denominational ideas, to distinguish which one is which and what they all teach. There are over 200 specific Christian call denominations in the United States. Subsets of those reach into the thousands. Across the world, there are 45,000 globally groups that declare that they are under a basic concept of a Christian faith. I contend the problem, though, as you look at these movements to bring people together, to work together, as they would say, for a greater agenda, I do see the dilemma with this is based on a basic misapplication, because I contend the problem is more of a misplaced mission and misplaced priority. And maybe the simple way to understand the dynamics of what happens in these environments, when churches begin to intermix to the extreme place, they lose their identity, is because somehow we've drifted away from the ideas of Matthew chapter 16. And maybe the best approach is to look into this text openly and candidly to really see more in detail what the writer says. I think you'll discover some new ideas and experiences by studying Matthew 16 and the context of this day. In the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, beginning at verse 13, a very popular text, yet so often, I think, not fully looked at. Notice what he expresses. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, that's key, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah, and some say you're Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But whom say you that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, or son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, are you, that you are Peter, you're a pebble, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind shall be on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." I want you to know that our Lord came here with a mission in mind. His agenda was to prepare people to be conformed into his image. He came to save us from the consequence of sin. Why? We had lost our way. Way. Don't forget that word, way. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, and there is destruction. It says broad is the way, and many there be that find it. It says train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." The Bible says as high as the heavens above the earth, so are God's ways above ours. And in conjunction with that, the church of the first century was called the way. The way. The Hebrew word for way is drach, often translated as way. And it can refer to a physical road or pathway. But metaphorically, it often refers to the journey, the manner or course of a person's life. Everyone who is alive and conscious is on the road, and every day presents us with choices about how we walk down that road. The concept of way suggests the idea that when God made man, he stamped his way inside of us. His way, which means the idea of being like him. Sin happened because we chose our own way. We made choices contrary to the plan that God had made for us. So sin happened because of this, and now the Lord has come to bring us all the way back to the bond we initially had, like Adam had and Eve had before they ever sinned. He does his mission by choosing the place in this text, the question in the text, and the assignment in the text. Noticing briefly, you need to get your mind around the concept of what happens. The Lord is walking with his 12 apostles. He's the leader, and they're walking with him. He's taking them down a certain path. And so many things when you read the scripture you can miss if you don't know the locations and the places where these events are taking place. But the text says they come to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. The Lord chose the place, and the place is used to validate his authority and his power. If you came across this region of Caesarea Philippi, you would discover at this area we're talking about is a mountain called Mount Hermon. And Mount Hermon is over 9,000 foot high mountain. Jesus walks with the apostles. All they know is they're walking with him and he's leading the pack. But they don't realize initially there's a lesson in everything that he's doing, even in the location where they are. They stand somehow postured where they can see this 9,000 square foot mountain that they're looking at. This mountain, as you look at it, you find water flowing and flushing out of this mountain all the time. You see, here's water at this mountainside. He identifies that they stand there. It's called Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea, named after Caesar, right? And so the area of Caesar's Rome, which shows Jesus will have authority over Caesar. That's the leadership of Rome. and over Rome, because Rome and Caesar are interconnected. The Jordan River runs nearby, and because the Jordan River runs nearby, declaring his authority and power is even over Israel and the Jewish belief system of Judaism at that time. It is near, again, Mount Hermon, which is near the site of a temple of the nature god named Pan, P-A-N, at Benias. It contains the site once sacred to the Greek goat god, Pan, where human sacrifices were performed. Pan is often seen with a flute and goat legs. This was a very pagan place. So I want you to see, as the apostles are there with Jesus, he's walking along this path. This mountain stands by. He stands and he seems to point or project in a certain area. He identifies, this is a place of Caesar worship. We already know that. They live in this world. They know this is where Caesar worship takes place at. Nearby is a temple for Zeus. That's a Greek religious concept. And Nemesis has a place nearby here. The shrine of the dancing goats are in this area that we're looking at right now. And this mountainside is a place where he shows them all the power and authority he's going to have. To them, understand, to them, it sounds like an impossible ideology. The very sense and thought that somehow, anything he can do can change Rome, can change Caesar, can change Zeus, can change Nemesis, can change the god Pan being worshipped here, animal sacrifice, children being sacrificed, all that's a part of this region he's in. Rome, Greeks, Jews, mythology, pagans, all here. So when Jesus walks along the coast, he chose the place of Caesarea Philippi. This is what they envision, and this is what they see. So he then chooses a question, because questions will give insight to your truth. You see, Jesus did what's called the Socratic method of teaching. Socratic method is called some form of discovery learning. It is asking questions to lead people to a level of discovery. Are you aware of who the first character was who actually asked a question in the Bible? The first question was actually asked by Satan. And the question was used to steal Eve's faith. What was the question? He asked the question, did not God say, as though he has no idea, that you can eat from every tree in the garden? It's a question. The question is being used for the purpose of stealing her faith. Initially, the devil used a question to disturb faith. Now, questions can be used to build and increase faith. Really important that you understand, when you talk about communicating with anybody, the greatest level of communication comes from asking questions and not from trying to be the person who has all the answers. So notice, if you will, the three fundamental ideologies connected to the questions the Lord presents. He asked a question. What do they say? Who do people say that I am? They say, some say you're John the Baptist back from the dead. Some say that you're Elijah. Some say that you're Jeremiah. He is actually, in many ways, all of these and more. Like John the Baptizer, he as a controversial kingdom preacher, like Elijah, who was to appear at the end of the age as a signal of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He's like an Elijah. He's like a Jeremiah, who was a rejected preacher of judgment, who fought with authorities and experienced painful rejection. He speaks with power as they announce the new action of God coming into creating a new world age. He is a John the Baptist. He is an Elijah, and he is a Jeremiah. Here's the problem, though. They were thinking deja vu. They were thinking God is doing an old thing. Oh, he's like John the Baptist. He's a copy of Elijah. He's more like a copy of Jeremiah, something we have been seeing before. There's nothing new about this Jesus. There's nothing unique about him or challenging. He's just recycled old prophets. Friend, I want you to know, every age is tempted to transform Jesus into their own image. He has been described as a great teacher of wisdom. He's been described as a social reformer by some. Oh, who's this Jesus? He's a street revolutionary. Who's he? He's a helper to the homeless. And there are grains of truth in all these depictions. But in each case, people have propounded a peg labeled Jesus into the hole and drilled it to fit their own religious preconceptions and presuppositions. If we're not careful, we, like them, can make Jesus, make him something like us. He asked the fundamental question, who do people say what they say about me? Then he asked a second question again. Don't forget the purpose of a question. It's to lead you to an understanding. It's to lead you to an idea. It's a Socratic method to help you to see things more deeply. Who do you say that I am? Peter, as his nature may be, speaks up first. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Savior. You are the rescuer of the world, which is in peril and cannot save itself. To say Messiah is to claim that Jesus is the fulfillment of the hope that God would produce in an ideal king for Israel. A king who would fulfill every hunger of the nation for well-being, one who would bring peace and wisdom and righteousness and prosperity. But there's a third question alluded to inside this text. Jesus says to Peter, I say unto you that thou art Peter. In other words, he says to Peter, he said, this didn't come from you, but from my Father which is in heaven, which basically means he says, what does God say about who he is? See, Peter, you are not that smart. God has made a statement, and he's made a statement through you. Peter said what? You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. Two concepts are built into this statement. You are the Son. The Son. The human being whose union with God is so intimate that his participation is in its very nature God. You are human, but you are fully, fully more than that. You are one with God. And then he advocates, he is also suggesting he is the Son of the living God of Israel. He's the Son of the God who is the source of all life, the God who pours the gift of life upon all its creatures, the creator God who summons the winds, and the God who scatters light across the sky, the God who sustains and nourishes the world, the God who knows the falling of a sparrow and who counts all the hairs on your head, whose image we share, and not the dead God of the heathens, and the dead God if you trust in your money, the dead God of your money, or the dead God of your power, or the dead God of your vacations, or your job, or your retirement, or the dead God of your health, the dead God of the lifeless, inanimate, dead, and defunct gods of other people. No, no, no. He is the Son of the living God. He asked the question to lead them to a level of understanding. Our Lord chose the place. Our Lord chose the question. And our Lord chose the assignment. I say unto thee that you are a pebble. Don't forget they're near a rock. You're a pebble. And upon this statement that I am the Messiah and the Son connected to God of the living, not dead, but the living God. Upon this statement, I will build my ecclesia. My called out from group. Peter, you're a pebble. I'm going to use you as the first pebble. I'm going to build, I am a carpenter, and I know how to build. I'm going to build my ecclesia, my called out from people, out of pebbles. As we stand, he would declare, looking in this monumental 9,000 square foot mountain and saying to them, I'm going to build something with pebbles that's bigger and greater and mightier than this rock. I'm going to build something with these pebbles that would transform a government, transform pagans, transform the world by using pebbles. I will whip this rock upon this statement, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build identifies it is by his authority. His subjects will build. It will be something new. The church is not an institution. The church is a living organism. It's a living body of people. I will build a body so strong, and it will make it. I will make it out of a bunch of pebbles. They will be lively stones on which I build this. And what I will do will shut down all authority I know about right now. What I will do will build something bigger than this 9,000 square foot mountain. And I will do it with the pebbles of the people who put their trust and their faith in me. He chose the place to identify he's got authority. Whether the authority of governments or history or idols, there's only his way that's going to win. He chose the question to make us see the value and the power of the truth. He chose the assignment for a life purpose of his children. We tend to want to go and get something old and make it new. But in conclusion, I want you to understand Jesus has all authority. He shut everything down that already existed. He says, we're not called to transform groups. We're called to transform people. We're like the boy walking on the beach shore with seeing thousands of starfish on the ground, and he's walking down the beach grabbing starfish and throwing them back into the ocean, and the old man watched him for about 30 minutes and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to save these starfish. He said, well, look down the road, boy. Look, you think I said thousands of starfish down off the beach here that's on the land. I mean, there are thousands of them. You can't make a difference. You can't make a difference with thousands of starfish. The little boy picked up one. He said, I made a difference with this one threw in the water. I made a difference for this one threw in the water. As a child of God, you and I have a mission. We understand the power of questions, and you got to understand the significance of using questions to teach people. Stop trying to tell somebody the truth and learn to ask legitimate questions to give them insight. We understand that what they say is does not define what's taking place. We have an assignment from the living God. The church, he identifies, is going to infiltrate a pagan world. Now, he suggests, therefore, that the gates of hell should not be able to resist it. In other words, the church will plunder hell. We will pluck people out of the path of hell. In this region of Caesarea Philippi, under this mountain and near this mountain where worship of Pan took place, in this region right here by Mount Hermon and where the water is flushing out, underneath Pan, the mountain area here, is what's called the Plutonium. There were certain areas called the Plutonium, and they were areas that go into the earth. As a matter of fact, these were areas where people go down into the caverns and the caves. And it got so scary, it shook them up. In these areas of these caves, they were so scary, the Greeks would call these areas, the Greeks called them the entrance to Hades, or as we would say it, the gates of hell. The Lord is saying, I know there's a section here that you guys reference as the gates of hell. And I know the gates of hell in the context of your using it in our terminology of their day and time is a place so scary and so terrible that people have gone down to the cave and gotten themselves lost and no one has ever seen them again. But the mission of my people, the task of those who stand with me, I contend that the mission and the assignment of every believer of the Lord is to pluck souls out of the path of hell. It's the focus of our mission is to allow that mission is to not to get misplaced by impacting anything else. If we're not plucking souls out of the path of hell, we're missing our mission. Peter, I will give to you the keys. And we all know in Acts chapter 2, Peter used the keys to open this doorway to receive those who were being plucked out of the path of hell and placed in a safe place inside of the Lord. My challenge to you is to understand the significance of the place understand the value of the questions. The place tells us the authority of God. The question tells us how to communicate with others. The assignment tells us the centrality of our mission to save someone for the Lord. May you allow this message to empower you. May you allow it to give you insight. May you allow it to challenge you to step out in faith and say to someone, let me ask you a question about the core principles of your belief. As I close, I'm reminded of a friend of mine. I preached a meeting in North Carolina some years ago, and a friend of mine told me he was working on a job with a lady. And, you know, she said, I got saved recently. He said, well, bless you. He said, well, what did you do? She said, I said a sinner's prayer, and I got saved. He said, well, that's amazing, wonderful, wonderful. He said, well, can I ask you a question? She said, yeah. He said, listen, I'm preaching. You know, I'm preaching the Church of Christ, he said. But listen, I'm trying to understand something. He said, I've had a hard time with something. Could you have your preacher help me? She said, well, sure. He said, could you ask your preacher to find that passage for me about the sinner's prayer? I've been trying to find it, and I can't find it. She said, well, sure, I will. So she goes on about a way, talks about a week later on the job. He said, has your preacher found that text yet? She said, no, he's not found it. He hasn't talked to me about it yet. He said, would you ask him again? Because I really need to find that passage. So another week passed. He talked to her a second time. He said, well, listen, has he found that text yet? She said, no, he says he's been very busy. He's going to get it to me. He said, okay, well, let me know if you could. You know, when he finds it, I'm just trying to make sure I'm teaching things right. So hey, would you help him to do that for me? So a few more days passed. He said on the job again. He said, has he found that passage yet? She said, no, he's not found it yet. He said, listen, I'm sorry. Notice he asked a question. He said, I'm sorry, I've been messing with you. She said, what do you mean? He said, it's not in the Bible. She said, what are you saying? He said, I'm telling you, the Bible never tells you to pray for salvation. The Bible never tells you to receive Jesus into your heart to be saved. And I was just messing with you because I knew it's not in there. He said, but I got a question for you. Why is your preacher teaching that if he can't find it in the Bible? He used these questions to lead her to a truth. And all I'm advocating is if you choose to ask the right questions, God will lead you and allow you to direct someone into a closer walk with him. Let's pray together. Father God, we come to you in awareness of your mercy, your peace, your love, your care, your strength that you pour into our hearts. You love us, you care. You have blessed us as only you can. May we choose a route to learn the value of your power and authority. It is your church, not ours. We are your servants. You don't serve us. And you don't need us to fix something for you. You need us to do the work we're called to do. May we choose to be the people of God who are committed to our mission and committed to our call to snatch people out of hell before they get there. Thank you, Father God, for your love, for your trust, your mercy. May those who hear this word who are not in the family of God believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. May they choose a change of mind we call repentance. May they choose to make Jesus their curio so their Lord, confessing him, is declaring they want him to guide and direct their lives. And may they choose, like as Jesus stood at Mount Hermon, as all the water gushed out, he talked about this idea of being added to his family. May they choose the power, once dying to their old life, to be buried in baptism, to rise to walk in a brand new life. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness, your mercy, your grace, your peace, and the strength you offer us as you try to guide and lead us down a path that makes us better for your purpose. And now, in the name of the one who calms all waters, and in the name of the one who calms every sea, and in the name of the one who can speak a world into existence with just a word, it's in the name of Jesus the Christ that we pray. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace. Be blessed.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
I was hurting all along. I was searching for a comfort I could find on my own, with no direction, feeling down. My life was headed for disaster till you turned me around. Nothing ever had been able to ease me when trying to please me. It only pleased me less. But when I learned about the way that you love me, had to put your honor above me, and you gave me rest.
Lead me to rest, sweet Lord. Lead me to rest.
Oh, Lord.
From my journey here, lead me to rest.
What a comfort, what a deal, as I consider what you offered me, how can it be real? What should I offer in return, when the value of your blessings no one could ever, ever have? Got a reason for living, and you made it so clear, yeah. I'm supported when the devil would charm me, protected when the evil would harm me. Tell me, how can I be?
Lead me to rest, sweet Lord. Lead me to rest. From my journey here, lead me to rest.
The relief I found from the burden that have weighed me down,
lead me to rest. Lead me to rest.
Lead me to rest.
In the world my life was slowly sinking, not a king to peace at all. You had to say,
not a word you had to say.
Now it's fortunate you've changed my thinking. After answering your loving call, you give me rest that nobody can take away.
Can take it away.
Lead me to rest, sweet Lord. Lead me to rest from my journey.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. I want to thank you for spending a little time with us this evening in a study of God's Word. I want to thank both of my co-hosts, Clay Phillips and Stanley Hubbard, for breaking unto us the bread of life. And also my co-host, Brian Christian Cole, who answered that question regarding the Scriptures. Certainly appreciate all their efforts on the show tonight. What a thrill it is to be able to sit and listen to the Word of God being proclaimed as we get a chance to study God's Word on Thursday evening on the Gospel Light Radio Show. What a blessing. It is my prayer that these lessons this evening have been beneficial to your spiritual lives and that your relationship with the Lord has been strengthened, because you're not only tuned in this radio broadcast, but you've given yourself over to a study of God's Word. So until we meet again, I pray God's continual blessings upon your lives and that He bless you real, real good. You've been listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. On behalf of my co-hosts, we really do appreciate your love and support for these programs. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.